Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
It's Monday Holocult. You know what that means. You've chosen us to hang out with you, to get you through the work week. And we appreciate you for that. It's a good choice. Smart choice. We used our brains, came to this conclusion. Excellent choice.
It does show a high level of intelligence.
I agree. That's why it's the best cult, honestly. We're glad you chose us. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Hopefully the cold weather is behind us. And we can dive right into the weird stuff after we get through the business. If you're new here and you don't want to hear us chat, not sure why you're listening to the podcast to begin with, but if you want to get right to the episode, I'd fast forward till about 5 minutes and you should be close. But check us out on all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and you will find us there. Come be part of the community, be part of the cult. It's a good time. If you listen on YouTube, make sure you subscribe, hit the like button, the notification bell, and share the videos to at least 3 family members and 16 friends. It's not that hard.
That's not that big of an ask, really.
No, not at all. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to have featured on a future show, Kyle has some information you're going to want.
I do. It's in the show notes. All of our information is in the show notes, but you can type your story out, shoot over to the email. It's going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. We'll get it, file it, air it.
Easy. It's as easy as that. If you'd like to support the show, plenty of ways you can do it. For a mere $7 a month, you can be a Patreon member where you get about 50 extra episodes that haven't been released to the general public, the general population. You get these episodes early. You get them without ads. You get casket breath jams when we get them together. You get notifications on early merch drops. You get coupons to the merch store sometimes. All kinds of cool stuff. So definitely check that out if that's something you're considering. Speaking of merch store, hollowskypodcast.com. Go over there. Check it out. Tons of cool merch. We got shirts over there. We're blasting through last year's backstock to clear up some inventory for some new designs. We have beanies over there. We have trucker hats over there, stickers, all kinds of good stuff. Find some hollow swag and rep it because that's what all the cool kids are doing, technically. You can also share the show word of mouth. Put it out there on the internet. Put it out, manifest it into the ether, whatever you need to do. Any other spooky or paranormal shows you like to listen to that you'd like to see us collab, contact them and be like, hey, talk to these guys. And then we'll try to work something out. Our schedules are a little hectic, but we're trying our best, which is a lot of other people's worst, which
true.
Is kind of depressing when I put it like that. But you know what? It is what it is. Also, go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review if you're on Apple, because it's the only place I can find them now. If you're on Spotify, leave us some comments on the episodes. We get notifications for that too. But I will find them and shout you out. That being said, this week's five-star rating and review comes to us from our friend Mike in West Virginia. Mike says, awesome, 5 stars. Found these guys through the Confessionals podcast, have listened to all their episodes at least once, paranormal stories and everything that goes with it. Met these guys at 40 and Airwaves 2023. They were just as down to earth as they sound on the podcast. Timestamp 2 minutes on the review. that's money, Mike. Keep up the great work you're both doing. 4 metal sign emojis. Keep on talking at the beginning. It never gets too old for me. Thumbs up emoji. 2 more metal sign emojis and 4 fire emojis. That's ladies and gentlemen, is how you leave a review. So, Mike in West Virginia, thanks for taking the time to leave us that fire ass review. Thanks for coming to 40 and hang out with us. We're hoping this year to get out and about and come and kick it with you guys, kick it with the cult a little more at some of these conferences and such. I know our schedules are absolutely dog shit.
Yeah.
But we're working on it, kind of, as to the best of our abilities.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot we can do about our work schedules.
No, besides not having to go.
There is that. We could just up and quit. And
then we'd be at every conference.
Yeah, well.
Hollow conference.
Not really.
No, but we'd be at more than we are now.
So we don't have money to get there.
Technically.
Yeah.
We'll work out the semantics.
We'll figure it out.
Work out later. But yeah, Mike, thanks again for the review. Thanks for coming and kicking it. And yeah, we're about to get right into it. I've seen the title of the episode, and I'm kind of stoked because it's about Kyle's favorite band.
No.
All right. I misread the room.
You did. You did. Before we get into it, content warning.
Oh.
A little bit on the graphic side.
Definitely misread the room.
Yeah.
I apologize.
So this one isn't for kids. I would recommend not allowing that to happen.
Yeah, definite trigger warnings here for essay and stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty graphic. It's probably one of the more graphic ones we've done. But it's a topic that we haven't talked about. And I found a story in a book called Stalked by a Demon by Tess Rutgens. It's a pretty interesting story. So the story starts when Tess moves to Norfolk, Nebraska in 1969. She ended up becoming best friends with a girl that looked virtually identical to her. Tess's friend's name was Rhonda, and they spent every moment together. It actually reminded me of my childhood a little bit, the way it's kind of described. You make friends with someone that lives near you. You're in the same grade. You go to school. You do homework together, and then you just play outside the rest of the day. That's what their childhood consisted of, and it definitely reminds me of my childhood.
Same.
In the spring of 1971, the girls were 11 and ended up being bored one day. Well, kids that age tend to get into a little bit of mischief when they're bored. So Rhonda's like, hey, you know, we're a little bored. I do have a pretty interesting way to kill time. Tess is like, oh, really? She's like, yeah, I got this game back at the house. I figured we could go over there, get it, and we could play it. It's a Ouija board.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. It's a not fun thing to do, but Tess was like, you know, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I got bad feelings about it. And apparently throughout Tessa's childhood, prior to this Ouija board experience, she was always pretty sensitive to the paranormal. And her grandma kind of taught her how to navigate that water a little bit. She also was a firm Catholic and kind of tried to teach Tess how to command evil away as a little girl.
Was she, did it like infer that she like was into the grandma was into the paranormal, like dabbled in it, or was just like looking into ways to kind of protect herself from it?
I think she was, I think the grandma was just a devout Catholic and she took her Bible teachings and kind of applied that to the paranormal and
that's kinda cool.
Keeping evil spirits away. I think that was the, you know, the main focus there. But in the end, Tess agrees. So they go to Rhonda's house, grab the board. They bring it back to Tess's house because Tess had a basement. And that way they could kind of have some privacy because both of them kind of knew that the parents probably wouldn't be stoked if they got caught playing with the Ouija board.
Sounds like the same shit I did when I was 11.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. You know, kids like that, when they're bored, they get into mischief. And they set it up. And Rhonda begin to kind of put out the call. And she says, calling out to all the spirits of the spirit world, come speak with us now.
That was a mistake.
Yeah.
That's a broad brush stroke you just sent yes. out into the ether.
Yeah. They sit there in silence. And as they're sitting there, Tess begins to smell smoke. Then this chemical smell hits and it was strong enough that it made her throat feel like it was burning. It smelled like sulfur, which of course
that's not good.
Is not a good sign. As Tess began to look around to try and see where this smell was coming from, she saw this huge black mass. She describes it as like a thick black smoke that started to form right in the center of the room. The mass began to change its shape into a human figure. And this figure had glowing red eyes. Tess and Rhonda hear a growl, then an ear-piercing screeching noise that seemed to almost come from every single direction. She wanted to cover her ears, but at that point, she couldn't. She was more or less frozen in place with fear. Rhonda started screaming, and she was screaming for Tess to just run. We need to get away. We have got to run. They run outside into the daylight and away from the house. Both the girls were crying, hugging each other, freaking out. But as they started to calm down, they both come up with this bizarre plan for the Ouija board. And I say bizarre because of two factors, the age of the girls and the knowledge of the topic. But they decide to go back into the house, grab the Ouija board, bury it.
Oh, that is weird.
Yeah, that was the plan they schemed. So they did just that. They went back to the house. They grabbed the board. Rhonda's like, all right, let's go out in your backyard and bury this. And Tess is like, doubt that. We're taking this motherfucker to your house and burying it in your backyard.
It almost feels like Rhonda has more experience in the paranormal and occult world than Tess does because, A, she had the Ouija board.
Right.
Which you'd think if she was kind of in the same camp that Tess's parents were, wouldn't have one to begin with.
Right.
And it almost makes me feel like it was Rhonda's idea to bury the board.
It could have been.
You know, like she's kind of more into it than...
Which is a little sussy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's weird that they're both, you know, 11 years old. They're both like young girls, but it's just a weird plan to come up with. It is also weird for them to have a Ouija board. I agree with that.
It just comes across like you wouldn't think someone coming from like, especially a devout Catholic background, like her grandmother was,
mm-hmm.
that would allow someone to fuck with Ouija boards. Because I feel like if anybody's not about that life, it's probably like people that practice Catholicism.
Yeah, I agree.
Not throwing any shade or anything. I just feel like that's a pretty factual statement.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But the girls, they took the board. They buried it. They dug as deep as they could. Threw the board in there, covered it. Both girls at that point agreed to never speak about this encounter again. Never speak about the Ouija board, seeing the black mass, any part of it is all gone from memory now. For years after that, everything kind of seemed to lay dormant. Nothing happens until Tess was 14. She was down in the basement doing some laundry when she noticed a shadow forming on the wall in front of her. So she's assuming that someone is walking up behind her, casting a shadow. And the shadow starts to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So obviously it's suggesting that it's moving closer and closer. For whatever reason, she kind of becomes overtaken with fear. And a mason jar ends up falling over and breaking. And this kind of pulls her out of this little frozen trance she's in. Now, the smell hits her. She starts to smell that sulfur smell again. The shadow that was there is now gone. And the weird thing about that is when that mason jar falls off the table and smashes to the ground, she blurts out, "Jesus Christ." And then right after that, the shadow creature is now gone. Or whatever was coming up behind her is gone. And she investigates the basement, and she could not find anything down there that would have made this silhouetted figure in front of her. Once again, it seems like after this encounter, the entity kind of goes dormant and leaves Tess alone for years to come. She ended up moving from that house into another one in Norfolk, which was a plus for her. You know, she's thinking that this may, you know, that's probably going to be the end of it. I'm not going to have to deal with the memory of what we did and this weird shadow thing going on. Basically, the new owners are going to have to deal with this shit. I'm out. Life went by fast for Tess. She ended up having a kid and married by the age of 18. Tess and her husband didn't last but 4 years before it ends up failing. She moved out on her own, and in a few years began to date again, meeting another man who she ended up moving in with. His house was in a completely different town called Pierce, Nebraska. So I'm sure in the back of Tess's mind at that point, once again, all right, cool. So not only am I not in the house that I did this scary ass thing, but now I'm not even going to be in the same town. I'm out of here. So the more distance I'm able to put between me and what we did that day, the better. This place was on a farm, and Tess kind of took up the role of like a homemaker at that point, where she's going out collecting eggs and all that stuff. And she ends up loving it. She's like, this is fantastic. But it didn't take long for her to start to realize that things weren't right. She began to feel like and notice that she described it as a complete other family was living in the house with them. But this family wouldn't come out until it was nighttime.
That's terrifying.
She would literally hear cabinets opening and closing, clinking of glasses, silverware chattering, even people talking in the kitchen.
Dude, that's so weird. It makes me feel like, what was that movie? The Others or something? Where, spoiler alert, but the whole time you're thinking that the people are living in a haunted house, when in reality they're the ghosts and the hauntings are the people living in the house.
Yep.
That's creepy.
It's weird, man. And at first, so when all of this started to take place, this other family noise, she would get up and kind of go investigate. At the same time, which I feel like any parent would do, she also goes and checks on her daughter. But her daughter would be sound asleep. So she's like, all right, it wasn't her. The TV's off, so it wasn't that. And as soon as Tess would lay back down, like, all right, the house is clear, there's nobody here. But as soon as she would lay back down, the noise would start right back up again.
That's just weird.
Tess didn't say anything about it to her new man for quite some time. Until one night, she's hearing the noise, he's awake, and she's like, she hears this noise, and she's like, what was that? She didn't specify what the noise was. She didn't call any of it out. She just said, what was that? He replies with a very bizarre answer. He says, oh, that's just the sound waves from the day bouncing off the walls.
What?
That's his explanation of it. I've never heard anything like that before in my life.
The
sound waves from the day bouncing off the walls.
Does he know how sound works?
Don't ask me, big dog.
I don't feel like there's like a delay. There, like a lengthy delay.
Yeah. So she's like, whatever. At some points, the noise would get out of hand. Like, it would get loud. And she, at that point, I think she was kind of, that made her, for whatever reason, she kind of, I don't think she viewed it as it was this malicious thing going on in the kitchen. Because she would be laying there some nights and it would get so loud, she would just yell down the hallway to keep it down out there. And sure as shit, the noise level would drop or stop completely. So all of it kind of seemed rather harmless. Almost like she had walked into a haunted environment that had a mutual respect for her and her family. However, things began to change when she was 23, and they change in a very drastic way. She would begin having these dreams. All the dreams would start a very specific way, which is extremely bizarre when you hear the description of it. They would all start, she would lay down to go to sleep, and a noise would begin. This humming noise would start, and it would come in waves. It would kind of fluctuate. And she's like, it wasn't like someone humming. It was like a mechanical hum. It would build up and then get quiet, build up and get quiet. After the hum started, she would become extremely tired. Nothing she could do would fight the sleep off. She knew that once this started, she was going to sleep, no matter how hard she tried. But of course, the first time this takes place, she has no idea what's going on. So the dream she would end up having would be of her on her bed, unable to move. A malevolent presence could be felt. She couldn't see anything, though, which is kind of exactly what Steve has described in the past with sleep paralysis, yeah. Right? It felt like she was being held down. She would try to scream. She couldn't make a noise. She would try to say the Lord's Prayer, but it also wouldn't work. The words would just jumble around in her head. She could feel the presence standing in the doorway. This presence would get closer and closer until it finally jumps on her and she could feel it. She says that she could even see her skin depress.
Ugh.
It would feel like hands were all over her, squeezing and scratching. It would pull her hair so hard that it felt like her neck was going to break. She could also smell this, like she could smell its breath essentially on top of her. And then she says it would force her legs apart and she would start to feel a hot stab.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. This would go on all throughout the night until morning when she would finally wake up. But when she woke up, she feels like she hasn't gotten any sleep at all during the night. So as you can imagine, this continues on and it starts to affect every aspect of her life. It changes her. She notices scratches and bruises on herself that she can't explain. Then people start to see these scratches and bruises and they start asking questions. You know, is your husband doing this to you? What's going on? It understandably, at that point, removes all physical action from the marriage because she's being tormented in her sleep in this sexual nature. And so the last thing she's trying to do with her husband is enter in that same, you know, act. But she did note how it would go away, that these dreams and these experiences would go away when she would be at her breaking point. She would be so distraught where she would be like, all right, that's it. I'm fucking moving out. I'm done with this. I can't take it anymore. And when she reached that breaking point, all of it would stop for a while. Almost like it was allowing her to be comfortable and reel back in. Also, she noted that when her husband would hold her in her sleep, it also seemed like it wouldn't happen. Which is weird.
That is weird. You wouldn't think it would matter.
No, you wouldn't. And if that is true, in this entity that is terrifying, that lays in wait, because, you know, we can't control when we go to sleep or what we do during sleep, for the most part. He could start out holding her and roll over in his sleep, not knowing, and then, you know, and then all of a sudden she's vulnerable for the said attack.
Yeah.
Not to mention, to add more fear to the equation, and this does cross her mind, I also have a daughter.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah. So she starts to wonder and worry if a daughter is having dreams. And so she kind of politely and nonchalantly questions the daughter every once in a while if she's having nightmares. And if you have nightmares, you know, come talk to me about them. We'll get through them together. But the daughter doesn't. Nothing happens to the daughter. And on top of all that, she starts to feel isolated, like she can't talk about this. She can't talk about what's happening to her. And she wants to talk to somebody about it, but she's tried talking to her husband about it. Her husband shrugs it off. He's like, well, I hope them dreams just stop. You know, I hope they go, because he doesn't know what to do at that point because he thinks it's just dreams, right? And then she has her mom, but she's relatively young. Sex for someone that's young is kind of a taboo topic when it comes to talking to parents about it.
It's understandable.
You know, not to mention, I don't know that we ever typically become that open to talk about the subject with our parents.
No.
So this all starts to kind of leech on her and begins to change her. It isolates her. It oppresses her.
Which is very, very demonic activity.
100%. The same shit I was thinking when I was writing it. Like, it all adds up. It all falls right in line.
That is demonic infestation 101.
Yep. Tess also begins to note a few other bizarre accounts that are worth a mention. She talks about having tinnitus, a ringing in your ears, which I know some of us have experienced it or do experience it. The strange part about hers, though, is that the ringing only happens at home. She started to notice that when she would go out to, like, get groceries or whatever, that the ringing would stop. Or at the very least, she wouldn't notice it anymore. So, you know, bizarre.
I was just Googling the hum and paranormal encounters, which apparently is not like it's a thing.
Yeah.
People that are experiencing like poltergeist activity, but also tinnitus is as well, which is
that's weird.
I haven't heard that.
No, I've also heard the mechanical hum in regards to alien abduction.
Yeah. It's weird.
There was a point where Tess got extremely ill. After a few days of being just super ill, her mother ends up taking her to the hospital. One day while being there, she wakes up to a bunch of men surrounding her and they're chanting.
At the hospital?
At the hospital. All of them were dressed in brown robes with their hoods up.
What the fuck?
She couldn't see the faces or nothing. This freaks her out, obviously. So she starts paging for the nurse. And when she does this, they all disappear. They're gone.
Dude, see, okay, I'm not trying to discredit anything, anybody's experience or anything, but I'm always looking for, like, logical answers. So the first thing I thought about was carbon monoxide poisoning with all this happening, which, interestingly enough, hums and tinnitus are a symptom of carbon monoxide poisoning.
That's weird.
But if it was at the house, A, it would also be affecting the husband and the daughter.
Yes.
And B, if she's having these things take place in other locations, that pretty much eliminates carbon monoxide poisoning.
Right.
Unless it's like the whole town is being poisoned by carbon monoxide, which I think it probably not.
Probably not.
That was the first thing, because I thought I'd heard that somewhere, like tinnitus was a symptom. And I'm like, okay, that's strange.
That is weird. But I didn't know that.
Considering it's taking, like, she's having this attack go on outside of her home, kind of eliminates that, along with her daughter and her husband not having any symptoms.
And and in this case, it wasn't. So what she, in regards to the sexual dreams, she calls those devil dreams, right? And then whatever she experienced in the hospital, she doesn't attribute this to the devil dream, because it was just men chanting, and she was confused. She's like, were they guardian angels? Were they? Because she didn't understand the language either.
That's weird.
And she's like, were they angels? Were they bad? Was it like, I don't know what this was.
If I wake up with a bunch of robed men chanting around me, I'm going to think it's probably not good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the same camp. I'm in the same camp. But, you know, I even, you know, you bring up logic, and I even sat here and I'm like, I write it down. Is this some type of sickness-induced hallucination?
That's kind of where I was going with carbon monoxide.
It's definitely possible, right?
It's always good to try to rule out the easy things that you can rule out, right? Mm-hmm. If it is paranormal experiences based on carbon monoxide poisoning, there's an easy test for that. Just pull them out of the environment.
Yeah.
If there's still crazy shit going on, you know, pull them out of the environment, test for carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
Still crazy shit going on. It's probably not carbon monoxide.
Yeah, and like, I don't know if it's going to be in this episode or the next episode, but I even go through a lot of this episode, because as I'm reading through it, I even wax and wane on her mental health, where I'm just kind of like, man, there's this, and then there's this, but then it all kind of ties up later on. But things seem to only spiral at this point. She keeps having these quote-unquote devil dreams, which, like I said, is the encounter with the incubus.
God, that would be horrible.
Oh, it'd be the worst thing ever. Even if it was just a dream. Fucking terrifying. The noises keep happening around the house. And they really only seem to intensify. When she talks to her husband, like I said, he really doesn't really seem to care too much. He's just like, I hope that it ends. The strange thing is that one night she had both of the kids down and the noises took off. A smell also overtook the house, this putrid smell. When she checked on the sleeping kids, they both were completely unbothered by anything. But the way she described the noises, that they were loud, like banging on cabinets and shit, which to me would make me feel rather insane, like I'm losing my mind at this point, because you're hearing essentially what should be noises that would wake the kids, and they're not affecting the kids at all.
Oh yeah, that's 100% infestation.
I would completely question my own sanity.
Yep, that's what you look into any kind of demonic encounter in the steps of demonic possession, and that's infestation 101.
Yep.
They make you get to a point to where not only are other people questioning your sanity, but you start to question your sanity as well.
Yep.
And it's just a continuous domino effect of vulnerability, because the more you question what's happening is actually happening, the more vulnerable you become.
And I think throughout this episode, I think everybody listening will feel that too.
Alien, like you said, alienated, and that's the perfect word. Hey, Holocult, do you remember a time Or if you wanted weed, you had to meet up with some sketchy dude behind the dumpster in a Denny's parking lot. Well, you don't have to do that anymore, because you can get federally legal THC shipped right to your front door. How can you get that done? With Mood. Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC right to your door. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com/HOLO and enter coupon code HOLO. I'm talking high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. Every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to mood.com/HOLO, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use coupon code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Yeah. So, because I even right here, like, it all just starts to spiral, which is kind of a sign of demonic oppression or infestation. So you have the, it's stressing the body and the mind, and it creates this negative space in life, which in some cases, unfortunately, I feel like that could push people to breaking points. But this just intensifies the environment she's in, which only makes it easier for the demonic entity to thrive. To the point she is sitting in her living room one night, and the humming begins, and she knows what's going to happen. This is also the first time that the devil dream has taken place anywhere outside of the bedroom. Once again, the brutal attack takes place. She smells the burning rubber and can see a tall, dark figure walking towards her. It all took place again in a very graphic way. But this time, during the torture, it did something different. And to me, this is terrifying. It started to kiss her.
Gross.
In like a passionate manner. Like on the lips. The whole nine.
It's almost like it's trying to make it more personal.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah. I don't know. It's fucked up. That's fucking gross.
It's terrifying. After it was over, the dark figure turned and walked away. She woke up on the couch, and everything was normal. She checked to see if anything had changed, but it didn't. She even went to check on the children, who were safe and sound. Not long after, her and her husband have another kid, so they're at three total, which is kind of crazy to me, because children are like the most sacred and special of things. But in my head, with all this shit going on, I don't know that I would be strong enough to keep bringing more kids into this environment that I'm currently in.
Especially,
and I mean no disrespect by that, but I think in my head I would be like, I'm not having any more kids until I've dealt with this shit.
Especially when you're already worried about whether or not this is going to bleed over into like your children's lives.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Keep doing that.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah. The stress of just keeping like trying to keep everybody safe would just weigh and crush me, you know, because at this point, not only did no one believe me, but I also at this point can't even keep myself safe.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, like it's moved itself outside of the bedroom now.
Yeah.
So not that that makes it any better or worse, but now it's not confined to one like specific location. This thing can get you wherever.
Yeah. And that's terrifying. You know, it's absolutely terrifying. But at this point, Tess begins to kind of make some changes in her life. She enrolls in a nursing program, which she actually ends up thriving in. She also decided that enough was enough. Her husband never believed her and really never gave her any support with this issue. He would always brush off her accounts and shit like that. And there was even one time when she explains, he gets back from the grocery store and she tells him what happens and he's like, I don't know, I hope they go away, but here's a basket of apples, which implied that he wanted apple pie with his dinner.
Just being completely like dismissive.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
She's doing
100%.
Anything
so
she's got going on.
So she ends up just packing up the kids and headed back to Norfolk. She's done with him. She ends up divorcing him, getting her own spot. And
it makes you wonder if that was part of the demon's plan all along.
Mm.
Since he was essentially, whenever he held her through the night, was like a protector.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
What could it be him that whatever the entity was driving a wedge that eventually led to this, which kind of leans in that camp of demonic possession where
an isolation
and alienation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if he wasn't actually a protector, I'm sure you're dead on with that's part of the plan. I mean, it's part of the process is creating this wretched environment for her to exist in.
Yeah.
So now we move to when she's living in an apartment by herself with the kids. Things seem to once again be good for a little while. She graduates the nursing program, gets a job. The kids have an excellent summer because they're getting closer to other kids and making friends. But after a few months, the smells start to return. On top of that, we have another oddity adding to the situation. One day, Tess's niece shows up, and she's like, "What's that smell?" So now, here's another token to Tess and her mental state. Now she's not the only one smelling these nasty smells. These smells are real.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
So it is kind of not justification. What's the word I'm looking for? Kind of solidifies what's going on.
Yep.
Is not just in her mind.
It's not just in her head.
The phantom smells reminds me of Hellfire Farm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. And I feel like if you pay attention to the entirety of this story, I feel like you see the overall sorrow for Tess, and just I feel like her mental state, her life, everything is on a downward trajectory from the time she was 11 on when they play with that Ouija board. Because her mental state fractures, all of her marriages fail.
It makes me wonder if Rhonda had anything fucked up happen.
I was thinking the same thing. I wish, and maybe we'll get to that, you know, because I haven't finished the book quite yet. Because there is going to be a part two of this. So maybe we get to that. But I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, man, if I was Tess, I would have reached out to Rhonda. I would have found her and said, hey, is any of this shit happening to you?
Yeah, that would be the first thing that I would ask. Because, I mean, granted, Rhonda was only 11. But if there's not stuff happening, it almost feels like maybe something was passed off.
Could have been. I hope not. I hope that 11-year-old girl isn't that
nefarious,
but
or I mean, into like smart enough into the occult.
Little girls are different. They are different. But a few years later, in 93, Tess gets remarried. She moves to Tilden, where her husband grew up and still lived. Another attempt to run from the problem. Hoping that the strangers wouldn't follow her. However, unfortunately, she's wrong. One night, she was sleeping in her bed alone because her husband, Steve, was working the evening shift, which oddly matches up to my co-host here.
Well, can't argue that.
What are you not telling us, Steve? Anyway, she wakes up knowing something is wrong.
I guess I also have a demon problem, too. So.
Well, there's a lot of cards falling into place right now. Outside of the fact that it's 1993 in the story. And
yeah, that would make it a way different story.
But you are a time traveler.
It's also accurate.
Well.
Also accurate.
The plot thickens. She wakes up knowing something's wrong. And then she sees it. A dark figure in the room flying towards her. But it was different this time. It's absolutely bizarre. It's a dark oval shape. And as it gets closer, it elongates more. And then several more of these pop up and start swooping at her like birds. Like they're just swooping down at her head. So she's laying in bed with the covers pulled up. And these things are just swooping down at her face. And she gets out. And, oh my God, somebody please help me. And as she says this, they leave. She notices a dark, smoky cloud near the ceiling, and it starts to, like, seep out the window. She could once again smell the sulfur burning and this burning rubber smell as well. Which I haven't ever heard anything like that about these, like, black oval creatures.
No, it's weird.
Like birds. It's bizarre.
And it brings me back to the thing that she said when she was activating the Ouija board. Just any spirits. It makes me wonder if the door has continuously been open and this is just different things.
Could be. I never thought about that either. It very well could be. In another weird account, she was doing laundry and a black orb flew right up at her. Once again, several more of these show up and start doing the same thing. They all start aggressively flying towards her. She ends up screaming, "Leave me alone," and runs away and jumped in bed where she laid and cried, and I assume they ended up leaving her alone at that point. So she begins to, which finally I feel like she's trying to make moves in the right direction. She begins to attend Catholic Church again. However, the Catholic Church does what the Catholic Church does best and shuns people who want to attend and seek guidance. Because she's attending church, right? She goes out to the mini mart, is getting groceries and shit, and the priest stops her. Right there in the mini mart, right in front of fucking everybody. And he tells her straight up, "I'm not going to allow you to accept communion anymore. Because you and Steve, although married, you weren't married in the Catholic Church. And we see that as a sin. So in our eyes, you're not married."
I'm just going to hold my tongue on this.
And well, I kind of use this as a personal segue here. Some things that I've been like I was looking for a way to
talk about. I know what you're going to talk about because we talked about it personally.
Yeah.
That's why I'm just going to. I don't even need to say anything. Everybody knows where I stand.
Not this time. Not this time. This time it's me.
We're just going to let it eat. We're going to let it eat, Holocult.
And for a lot of people out there, you may not believe that like these accounts exist. However, I can personally tell you two accounts where the Catholic Church has failed me and my family. When me and my wife wanted to get married, we originally chose to get married in a Catholic church. We found a beautiful church. However, because we were living together, mind you, we'd been together for 10 years, they refused to do it unless we separated and went to a couple's retreat. That's the only way that they would even consider it.
Sinners.
Yeah. And it didn't. And I'll be honest with you, the dude about got slapped in his mouth because he was, I don't know, and the way he approached it just wasn't very professional at all. He was like, he was belittling me. You know, I understand if you're not strong enough. And I'm like, dude, I'm about to show you how strong I am here in a second.
Jesus is about to get slapped in the mouth. Can I get a hell yeah in the chat?
So, you know, that didn't happen. You know, not that big of a deal. But the big one, the one that actually hurt, and it hurt my soul, was when I began having kids. I wanted to go get my kids baptized, and the church wouldn't allow it because me and my wife didn't attend church. They said, no, we're not doing it. So I'm fine. You know, I'm fine with you shunning me and my wife for our actions, but my children did nothing. And it just sends a message of this isn't worth pursuing, and you know, in my opinion. I know a lot of people see the church otherwise, but in a religion where all is forgiven and understood, I failed to see that any of that being applied in some of these cases, you know. It's just, you can be a murderer and confess on your deathbed and be forgiven. However, a child that has no control over its current environment, nah, we're not going to absolve you of your original sin. Sorry. So
keep biting my tongue. Brother.
The church is, I can understand why people move away from the church. But with that being said, segue back to the story here. Tess was like me at that point. Like, that crushed her. That fucking hurt, because she needs help. She needs guidance. And everything has turned their back on her. She went home and called her grandma in tears, trying to explain what was going on. And Tess, at that point, she goes out. She gives up on the churches, but she didn't give up on everything. She buys a gold crucifix necklace, dips it in holy water for hopes of protection. The one thing it couldn't save was her marriage, though, because once again, within 4 years, her marriage failed.
Damn, were they all in 4 year increments?
I think so.
That's weird.
That is weird. I didn't put that together.
I wonder. I'm gonna Google why we're talking here. If there's any significance to that.
So I was gonna end it there, but we got a little bit more time. I'll keep going because I gotta write more anyway. So after that, Tess does something, in my opinion, a little bit selfish and impulsive. At this point, she gets a computer, gets on some chat rooms, starts talking to other men. She finds one down in Louisiana, takes a trip down there to see him. They fall in love. She wants to move. Well, the husband she had with the farm, so the one with the extra family there, they had kids together, and he's like, nope, you're not taking the kids out of state. Sorry. So she comes up with this plan, this idea that he can't take care of the kids on his own. So she's going to go ahead and move down to Louisiana, let the kids move in with him. So she's going to come straight up abandon two of her kids. And then she thinks, she knows that they'll be too much for her ex-husband. He'll end up shipping him down to Louisiana, blah, 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 blah. And that's not the case. Not the case at all. Where was I? She also thought she would outrun the demonic forces as well by moving large distance. She didn't do that either. They would pop up time to time down there. Her new dude even noticed the smell and noises as well. When Tess began to, you know, once again, she's looking for somebody to open up to and explain. I feel like she just wants to get off her chest at this point because she's got nobody to talk to. Tries talking to the new husband about it. As soon as she mentions, she was going to tell him the whole story, everything. As soon as she mentions Ouija board, he slams his hand on the table, freaks out about it. And he's like, I don't like Ouija boards. I don't want to hear anything about them. End of story. Done. And after that, because thankfully she didn't marry this guy. She was only down there to start dating him. After that, she's like, all right, you know what? This ain't going to work out. Not only is you and me are not going to work out, but I miss my children. I'm going back to Nebraska. So she moves back. And she's able to buy herself a nice little mobile home. And she has it moved to a nice little trailer park. But this home was the most haunted and noisy of the bunch to date. Tess even had her brother stay for a short while. And he was a pretty large dude. One night, she finds him in the living room, sleeping on the floor. She's like, what are you doing in here? And he's like, I don't, because he's staying in the daughter's room, who the daughter is at a friend's house. He's staying in the daughter's room. He's like, I don't like that room. I ain't sleeping in there no more. She's like, all right, whatever. And then the next night, she wakes up to her brother in bed with her. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, something freaked me the fuck out. I'm not going back out there. And she kind of like made a little joke and was like, you do realize this house is haunted, right? He didn't think that was funny. He ends up packing his shit and he leaves. He's like, I'm out. Nah, goodbye.
Not now, not ever.
I'm done. Absolutely done. I'm not dealing with this shit no more. And so when her daughter gets home, the one who, you know, he was staying in her room, she's like, hey, do you ever witness anything scary in your room? Is there anything out of place? And she's like, no. And she kind of like laughed it off. Cause she, and you know, Tess is like, well, Jeff, he got scared by something in your room. And Lexi, the daughter, was just like, no, I don't, you know, big guy Jeff ain't so tough after all, huh? She's like, I don't see anything. Everything's going to be fine. So, you know, they brush it off. And after these encounters, she ends up having a bizarre, Tess, the mom, has a bizarre one where she's home alone because, you know, all of her kids are staying at friends' house. They all have friends and lives. And she wakes up in the middle of the night on the couch, as we've all done before, and the TV is off. You know, I'm sure everybody's falling asleep with the TV on. And then after a while, the TV kind of does its thing and it shuts itself off. So she's sitting there and looking at the black mirror, essentially, lights up a smoke. And she starts to notice this black figure in the TV. Or no, not that one. She, even odder. So she's sitting here looking into this TV. And I'm guessing there's like a walkway behind her. Because she notices, almost like how you describe your shadow person, Steve, that'll go from room to room.
Mm-hmm.
She describes almost the same thing, except it's a line of short little figures. They're moving in a single file line from room to room.
Nope. Nope. Not for me.
That's where I'm at.
No, not for me. Which kind of leads more credence to the fact that she asked for any
I think any there might be something to that.
Because there's so much different weird shit going on with this woman.
So much. So much.
You can't write it off to geographical location. You can't, like, whatever's happening is happening directly to her. And I think it had a lot to do with her verbiage when opening that old Ouija door.
I think there's something to that. That's a good point.
It's weird. But I'm not, like, one shadow person just chilling. I'm like, it's what it is. You know, not that big of a deal. But if it's a whole line of, like, Oompa Loompa shadow people, like, I'm not about that life.
No, me neither. And while she's watching this line of little ones moving through.
Oh, that's the worst name.
She literally, like, so she looks back and there's nothing there. And then she looks back at the TV and she can still see the little ones filing through.
No.
Just walking.
God, No.
Finally, she starts saying aloud, like, who are you? What are you doing? And they basically just ignore her. And after a while, they just kind of stopped filing through. They eventually stop. Oddly enough, after this, Tess becomes almost obsessed with staring into the dark TV screen looking for figures.
That's creepy.
Yeah. She would sit out there at night and just looking into a black mirror, essentially, wanting or hoping or trying to see them again. However, later on, she does see something else. One night she sees a man behind her in a dark robe. She can't see his face because the hood's pulled up. She would see this figure more than once because she would also move from couch to recliner and still be able to see him in the TV. And after a while, it was like she got curious. She starts asking it questions. Who are you? Why are you standing by me? Like, I can plainly fucking see you. Why don't you answer me? And once again, her brain goes to this weird place of what is this one standing behind me? Is this a guardian angel, or is this the counterpart? Is this not good? You know, what the fuck is going on?
I was just looking up the kind of lore behind, like, why you shouldn't sleep with a television in your room and stuff, because essentially is, like, there's some thoughts that it could pose as, like, a black mirror, which
right.
is kind of, in some beliefs, it's like a portal from, like, other realms, demonic realms and stuff, which is kind of weird that she can only see it in the reflection of the television.
Oh, that is weird.
But not
in reality.
In reality.
That's gross.
Hmm.
I always feel weird when I look at a blank TV.
I used to talk to the static in the television.
That's gross.
I was a weird little kid.
Yeah. That's definitely an understatement.
Yeah. I used to bring dead things home.
Also weird.
But we won't talk about that this episode.
Also, it's weird.
Tune in later.
It's weird. But later on in life, Tess would actually talk to her mother a little bit about it. Not tell her everything, but she told her some of the stuff. And her mother told her that when she was a little girl, she used to tell her that the devil was after me. So Tess would tell that to her mom.
Oh, well, is that that? I'm assuming that was before
11. I'm assuming 11. That was before 11 as well.
Because that verbiage sounds like a smaller child.
Yes.
That changes a lot of things.
And when her mother asked her why she thought that, she replied with, because of things that were happening to me. But she would never explain any further than that.
Gross. Gross. Yep. Yeah.
And that's where I'll end the episode.
That's a cliffhanger right there. Okay, so that changes the entire dynamic of what's going on. Because essentially this could, I mean, now you have to wonder if this has anything to do with the Ouija board at all. Essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if she was having experiences prior Ouija board, granted the Ouija board could exacerbate it,
and open it up did, to different she, stuff. To be fair, she did have experiences before, because if you recall, she would talk to her grandma about this, and her grandma would tell her how to ward off protect herself and stuff. Because she always believed that growing up, she was always sensitive to these things, but she never, I don't think she ever came to the conclusion, or I haven't found it yet, that like she's balls deep in it. Like,
that makes me wonder if her family and stuff, there was more going on paranormally or culty in the family than we know of.
Could have been.
Which we probably won't ever know, but probably it's not a question that I would like to ask.
Yeah, and I feel like if it did involve anybody, it would be the grandma.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's why I asked that right off the rip. Like, yeah, was she into the paranormal? Because, like, there is a lot of that kind of crossover in Catholicism, like the sure, demons and angels and afterlife and stuff like that. And granted, I don't feel like they like to, like, proclaim it paranormal. It's spiritual. But there's a lot of gray area in there.
I agree.
And I feel like grandma was probably not necessarily nefariously. OG cultist. Yeah, I don't know that she was nefariously dabbling, but I feel like she was doing some learning.
Old Grandma Strange.
Yeah.
Out there like casting spells and shit.
She was doing some learning here and there.
Probably.
And maybe, or it could have been it could have been a generational thing.
Could be.
You know, the grandma could have been suffering from fucked up shit too, but she found a way to, you know, come across these ways to defend herself that she passed on to her granddaughter, who she notices is also having some fucked up shit going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Fucking, hey, it's gross.
It is gross. It's extremely disturbing.
It's
a very uncomfortable episode. It's very, I don't know what I was actually expecting. And mind you, the book gets far more detailed than I'm being. So if you want to read the book, it's not a long book. It's like a 200-page book.
Trigger warning.
Yeah, it definitely has some details in it.
Yikes.
It's not like ultra vivid details, but it definitely tells you what happens.
Vivid enough.
Vivid enough.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was going to expect, but this wasn't what I was expecting at all.
It kind of hits the old Incubus on the head.
Yeah. Yep.
That's terrifying that there could, like, it's bad enough that you have to deal with humans that are that fucked up.
Yeah.
But, like, the idea that you have to deal with not humans. Also.
And to be fair, this is probably going to sound extremely foolish to a lot of people, but I'd like to see what you actually think about it, Steve. Because you've like me, you've always known what an incubus and succubus was, right?
Yeah.
All right. Did you ever have the impression that an encounter with them would be as horrific as what she's gone through? Did anybody allude that to you when you're speaking about a succubus or an incubus?
No.
Me either, because it's always sold. I mean, for us, we hear more about, I think people in general hear more about succubus than they do incubus anyways.
Yeah.
But it's always sold as this, like,
beautiful woman.
Yeah, this erotic.
Yes.
Situation, and when you hear erotic, you don't think of.
And that's how it's
fucking
like,
torture.
No, that's how it's portrayed in media and shit too.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's totally sold as like this cool thing, when in reality, it's probably way closer to what.
That's what
Tess is experiencing.
I'm exactly
which is
the
traumatic
same.
And disgusting.
Absolutely, sure. Like when you, yeah, I mean. I don't, like I said, you almost feel fucking foolish.
Yeah.
Because you hear her story and you're like, no, no, no. This is almost guaranteed how it really is.
Yep.
Versus kind of what you've been sold. And don't get me wrong, don't get it twisted. I've never thought that the encounter with the incubus or succubus was a great thing.
But like when we had all the fucked up shit going on, like, remember your encounter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
First thing I was thinking about.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
That could have went like sideways real fucking quick.
Could have been bad. But you also had a weird encounter. It's with the dark figure.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it could have went sideways too.
But, yeah.
But yeah, it hearing it from a especially a different perspective, being a man, you know, kind of, because like Kyle said, it's sort of sold to us in a very like erotic sort of way.
Every time,
especially in media, it's fucking gross.
Yeah, like I said, it is not what I fucking expected at all.
No, but that wraps it up for this one. You got to make sure you tune in next week because we're gonna end it up in part two. Yeah, heavy.
Definitely.
Heavy. So thanks for hanging out with us this week. Hope you're all doing well. Again, keep the trigger warning in your mind for next week as well. And hope everybody had a good week. Everybody stay safe and check us out on all our social medias. I added that first part early. So till we meet again, stay safe, stay weird. And, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Maybe just don't Ouija stuff. Okay? And I'm not going to heed my own advice, but I'm just passing the advice out to you. Maybe just don't Ouija.